Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to the Champions. Now, here's your host, former Dallas Cowboys great Preston Pearson, number 26, along with co-host Cowboys superfan Nathan Ross. Here we go.
And here we go. Episode number 2, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we go any further, let me introduce you to my co-host, Nathan. Nathan Ross, are you there, my friend?
I am here, Preston. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We got a good one today.
Oh, boy, don't we ever. Boy, I'm excited, but I was excited last week, too. We had a great episode last week just talking with you. But, boy, I'm excited about today's episode, talking about the draft, Dallas Cowboy football, with somebody that's so legendary, and we'll introduce him. He deserves to be introduced.
Well, we're going to introduce him in a second. We want to pick up from where we were last week with our show, and that was primarily to introduce you and I to our new audience. And in that, we found out that you are an athlete, even though you are a longtime, big-time Dallas Cowboy fan. Tell us quickly about your background.
I grew up just loving sports. You know, I had big brothers. So I was always put into, you know, football, basketball, baseball, soccer, everything. But I played a lot of high school football. That's where I, you know, had the most fun sports-wise. Got to play free safety and wide receiver, and got to really play special teams too. I worked hard for the coach, so he'd call my name, and when he called my name, I was in there. So I just always have been playing sports, loving sports, watching sports, and just so fired up to be a part of something with you, Preston, to where we're doing sports together. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, and also in my introduction last week, we got into a lot of my background, starting at the elementary school level, high school, into college. And you remember how I got into pro football? Do you recall a little bit about that? It was blocking the shot of
Kareem Abdul or Lou Alcindor at the time.
Yeah,
Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Same guy, same skyhook. But that's primarily how I got into pro football. I was drafted by the Baltimore Colts in the 12th round. They don't have 12 rounds anymore. But our guest today was not drafted, and he is in the Cowboys Ring of Honor and the Hall of Fame.
Sure is.
Think about that. Think about that, folks. This is a guy that was not drafted by the NFL, but is now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, and that, all the all-decade team too. I mean, just of the 70s. Unbelievable that he's here with us today.
The accolades just keep flowing in about this young fella. I'm gonna call him young fella because he's younger than me. We want to start this way by introducing our guest, and I'm going to let you do that since you are a longtime Cowboys fan. I know him. I've appreciated his value as a team and now as a human being. So you go ahead, introduce him, and then we'll get into some more things that are relative to him and the draft.
Oh, it's so exciting. The draft's almost here, so I'm so excited. But to be able to introduce this gentleman, I mean, I pretended that I was him at the park. I mean, I'm not kidding you. For many years, too. I was quarterback and wide receiver at the park. And I'll tell you, it was Staubach and Danny White that changed. But the wide receiver part never changed. I was always this. So I'm so excited to have him on the show, talking Dallas Cowboy football with him. We're talking about, like you said, Ring of Honor, Hall of Fame. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's the original 88.
There.
Mr. Clutch, Drew Pearson. Drew, so awesome to have you on this show. Thank you for being here. And seeing both of you champions is an awesome, awesome day for me.
Yeah, pretty awesome day for me as well. I get to see my man, Preston Pearson.
Yes, sir.
You know, we went through our careers or part of our careers together with the last name Pearson. Yeah. And everybody would call me Preston. I don't know if they called him Drew,
yes,
but I got
did.
Called Preston all the time.
Quite
and
yep.
That's okay because I don't want to make Preston feel a little old, but when he was with the Baltimore Colts, you know, I knew that name, Preston Pearson. Pearson, you know, there's another guy that played receiver, Barry Pearson.
Barry
I don't
Pearson.
Know if you remember
played,
him, but I think
– Pittsburgh, yeah.
Pittsburgh.
I remember.
I think that's it, the three Pearsons that
that's
played.
It.
And I
that's
know
it.
We're not related, but I definitely not related to Barry Pearson, that's for sure.
Well, a quick story about that. When I came to Dallas, you know, the first thing I did when I came here was get on the phone to my family back in Freeport, Illinois. And I said, hey, there's a guy that has the same last name. He looks like a lot of my cousins and relatives that are in Freeport, and he walks a whole heck of a lot like a lot of my relatives. Is he related? Do you guys know of anybody that's from New Jersey by the name of Drew Pearson? And my brothers both kind of had to think about it. And then my older sister, one of my older sisters, they also had to think about it. But no, it was not there.
No.
It was not to be. But as I tell people all the time, we're still brothers.
Absolutely.
Still
Absolutely.
Brothers.
You know, so, I had to ask my dad if we had any on that side, because my dad was kind of a rolling stone. So he might have been through Illinois. I don't know. But my side of the Pearson is more from the East Coast, New Jersey, on down to North Carolina that type of thing. But, you know, for me to be on the same team with a guy with the same last name where I've never had that – ever happened through high school, Pop Warner High School. Oh, it happened in Pop Warner because my brother was on the same team.
Okay.
But high school or college, never had another Pearson on the team. And when we made that trade to bring you in, we had moved Walt Garrison out of your locker space.
Oh.
That's why that was available. And now we were together in our locker space.
Right there.
And we call that the Ghetto Row. Where all the brothers all hung the brothers in the same row of the locker room.
And as a fan of you guys, to be honest, when I was watching the game as a youngster, when they said Pearson made the catch, you really didn't know when they popped up which one was going to, especially 1975 when you came into the house. But you're absolutely right. We did wonder, and people did wonder if you were brothers or not, but you guys were making play after play after play. Both of you, so just amazing to have you.
That was our thing, making plays.
Third down, big
plays.
Both of you were
one
third
of the
down
gonna
specialists.
Get you.
Oh, and, you're not kidding.
Take your choice because we are both of us gonna burn you
at some
out of
point
the backfield
in time.
Or running that route downfield. But yeah, we complimented each other very well in our offense. You know?
Yes, you did.
And Preston was a neat, you know, we didn't trade for nobody. The Cowboys didn't trade for anybody back in the day. I think they made one trade before that.
Yeah.
A guy named.
I was the first a free agent.
Free agent. And, you know, and the reason is because we had that void at running back. We needed. Calvin Hill had just retired, you know, Walt Garrison on the way out. Yeah. Newhouse was still there, right?
Yes.
Oh, Newhouse was amazing. Robert
was amazing.
Absolutely.
And then Preston comes in, and, you know, that made a difference in our offense.
Kind of solidified that position for us with an eight-year player, I believe I was, at the time. Everybody else was either first, second, or third year, Robert Newhouse being the older in that group. Doug Dennison was here. Charlie Young was here.
Former number one draft pick.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
Young guys.
So they're trying to fill that spot at running back.
Right. Exactly.
He came in
pick.
With Randy White, I believe, in that 74 or 75 draft.
Well, the 75 draft.
That was an amazing draft.
People like to refer to that draft as the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the Baker's Dozen because I was a part of that. So
it was Hollywood Henderson, I'm thinking. Excuse me.
Well, Hollywood and Randy were number one choices.
Yeah, they're number one.
Yes. They were equal number ones that year. But they had 12 guys that made the team as rookies that year. And then I came in, and they started calling that year's allotment of players the Dirty Dozen. I call it
the Dirty Dozen.
Well, it's the Dirty Dozen.
Plus 12 plus one.
Yes, there you go.
12 plus one.
Which is called the Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, me too.
There you go.
So that was a great year for the Cowboys. Obviously, we went on to do a lot of good things.
Yes,
I want to take us back. You mentioned your high school days. Kind of roll in, if you would, Trey, our producer, a shot of Drew back in high school, and compare that to his days here with the Cowboys. And then we'll get into what I consider to be perhaps the biggest longevity play, a play call in the history of the NFL, let alone the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to point something out that most people don't think about anymore. In that game, the play prior to this particular game or play. So, again, great.
Fourth and 17.
Roll those shots, if you will. Who might that be, Drew?
That's my senior year in South River High School.
South River High School. Yeah. And it also featured on the football team a guy that you played against several times, a team that we kind of had a problem with every year. His name was?
Joe Theismann. Y'all know
him. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And South River, we called him Joe Theismann.
Okay.
Preston, really?
Nathan, he went to Notre Dame, had a chance to win the Heisman Trophy, so he changed his name from Theismann to Theismann to rhyme with Heisman.
Oh, you know what? Wow.
I did not know that.
That's how that got confused. South River, he didn't win it, so we still call him Joey Theismann. South River. But I played with him 1 year. He was a senior when I was a sophomore. Of course, he was quarterback. I started that wide receiver and safety on defense. And you got to understand, guys, when you play high school football for South River High School, it was a big deal, all right? We played 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoons. And before each game, I would walk downtown. I only lived a block away from downtown. And downtown was less than a mile long, I mean, like a quarter mile. And my mom would give me enough money to go to the Ben Franklin's, Five and Dime.
Yes, sir.
We couldn't afford a new pair of shoes for every game, but she would give me enough money to buy a pair of white socks and white shoelaces, and I would shine up those Adidas shoes and make them sparkle and be out there playing for South River. I caught my first pass in high school. It was a 60-yard touchdown pass from Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
And guys, I caught it standing in the end zone.
Oh, wow.
I saw that highlight. Oh, yeah.
To his left when he threw it.
Yes, he did.
He was a bad man. He was a bad man in high school. But the only problem with Joey, he'd be the first to tell you how good he was. Okay?
Were you guys friends?
Oh, he's to let you know. I did it good, didn't he?
Was he good to you, Drew?
There's a transformation right there.
Joe Theismann good to you? School was Joe Theismann good to you at school? Did he treat you, you know, with respect? You know, from a senior to be a sophomore, what was
and
he
are
like
you
to
friends
you in
now?
High school?
Yeah. Oh, we're friends now. Yeah, we text each other, stay in touch. But no, I had to earn that respect. Yeah. You know, you come through, you just don't show up and be respected by these seniors at South. We were 9-0. We only played 9 games that season. Mm-hmm. We were 9-0 and unscored upon for 6 games.
Wow.
We were bad.
Wow, that's
bad.
Yeah.
And, hey, here's the deal. I'm not the first Hall of Famer from South River High School. Mm-hmm. We have a guy named Alex Wojahowicz, all right?
Wojahowicz.
He played at Fordham University and then played later with the New York Giants. He was a nose tackle and he was a center, okay? And he was enshrined in 1968 from South River High School. So we got a nice little tradition in this little town, about 15,000 people, and everybody knew everybody. But if you were a boy growing up in South River and you didn't play football at the high school, somebody's looking at you a little strange. What's wrong with you, boy? Get your butt in there. No, it was a part
of
the tradition.
Awesome.
We loved it. And it's still a big tradition now, even though it's not the same.
So thinking about all of that and thinking about being undrafted, you were probably being viewed by the Cowboys front office even when you were in high school, talking about Gil Brandt, Tex Ram, and Tom Landry and that group, you were probably being looked at because you had the reputation not only for the school, and the school was probably a big part of it, got Thiesman and all the other guys that came out of there, but you did something right because the Cowboys, even though they didn't draft you, they went out and got you as a free agent. So you were probably being looked at.
Well, they saw that athletic. You know, Gil was looking for guys that, like, you play basketball.
Athletic. You know?
And, by the way, that shot he blocked, it was a sky hook, okay?
Unbelievable.
He blocked the sky hook.
That's why Don
Jabbar. That's right.
That's why Don Shula came calling. Don Shula came calling too. Yes. Right after.
Right after. But yeah, Gil would go get. You know, Chuck Halley was a wrestler and All-American wrestler and all that.
Bob Hayes was primarily, well, he was a football player, but he was primarily known as a track man.
Gold medal. I mean,
fastest man alive.
And Cornell Green. You know, he's
Cornell
a basketball
player. Basketball guy from Utah State.
Played, what, 12, 13 years with the Cowboys as a defensive back.
Unbelievable.
They talk about Gil Brandt using, like, a computer system that really wasn't, you know, for other, you
wasn't
know.
Wasn't heard of kind, at that time.
It wasn't heard of at that time, but it really seemed like he found some hidden gems the way Gil Brandt did his business. You know, rest in peace, a Hall of Famer now. But what a important person in our history.
Absolutely. Cowboys history and certainly for the Dallas Cowboys. Before we go any further, I, despite all of that we just heard about South River High School, Thiesman, your successes in high school, you're still known for several things. Hail Mary being one of them. That is the biggest thing that you are known for. We're going to point out one other thing that I don't think people should forget about that just raises their hair on the back of your head. This is the game.
Look at that
Hail Mary game. It was cold as hell up there that day. And here's a
man.
This is the reason why I got on the cover of Sports Illustrated in that game.
Oh, is that the catch there?
Not that
no,
one.
No, not that
one. This is Doug Dennison scoring here that put us ahead for a little bit in that game.
Yeah, because you went up and got that one on the cover.
Right,
this
there
is the
it
one.
Is.
That's the
there
one.
It is.
That's the one.
Can you run that back?
On the cover.
Can you run that back, Coach?
Here you go.
Yeah, you want to make
to go,
that.
Trey.
You knew that guy was coming.
There's some of that basketball
your,
skill
your
right there
between
coming
him
into
and
play.
The ball.
He even
and
gave him a little
is,
look
folks.
When he got up.
That's fourth and 20.
This is the
17.
One. That's the one I'm pointing out. This play right here allows Hail Mary to happen. Remember this
look
now.
Look at that pass, man.
This was
that's
fourth
toe.
Down and 17.
Fourth and 17.
That's toe. Drag swag, as they talk about.
But look at this pass. Look at he's on a far hash mark.
Oh,
he brings it across the field, 20, 30 yards deep, and he hits me right on the side. Right between the double A's.
And that's fourth and 17. That was
fourth and 17. Okay, I got to ask. Okay, this is Hail Mary. We'll go back to that in a second.
Yes.
This is Hail Mary.
Yeah, get up, dude. You can't cover me.
Goosebumps. And then he threw the ball away.
Here it is
Roger
again.
Staubach
look at this.
That.
All right, now pay attention to this. Now, Drew, I don't even know if you know this. Right. Watch out of the screen on the left, just in front of the official coming out from the stands.
That orange.
Yep, that looked
orange.
Like a flag.
There it is.
Yeah. Sure did.
I saw it. I thought it might be
did
a
you
flag.
See that?
Yeah, I saw it out of my peripheral.
Oh, wow.
And I thought it might be a flag, but Preston, Nathan, when that thing hit the ground, it kept rolling. I've never seen a flag roll.
All right.
I said, that's got to be touchdown.
That's
man,
all
what
you
a
needed
moment.
To see was that right there.
And that's the reason I threw it over that scoreboard, because I told Harvey Martin, my roommate, I said, the night before the game, I said, Harvey, I kept the winning touchdown. I'm going to throw that damn ball in the stands, because that was taboo back then, because if they fined you $150.
Only you would do
well,
that.
That too.
And we didn't have that kind of money to be given away.
No, Preston,
I,
on that.
I said I was going to do that, and it's just a reaction. And threw it. Yeah. There was no stands there. It went over the scoreboard into the parking lot.
Go ahead, Nathan.
You know, Preston, on that play on the 4th and 17, you went and after you made that amazing catch, amazing pass by Captain America, but I saw you got kicked in the head by a security guard. You being from New Jersey, you being from New Jersey, obviously it's Soprano area. Did you go and find that guy afterwards, or did you just let it slide?
I tell you what, Nathan, if I had known he had kicked me, I would have definitely found him afterwards.
I bet.
But here's the deal. I met this guy. NFL, NFL Films, NFL Network did a Football Life on him. He's a regular usher at all the main sporting events. He's the voice of the Minnesota Gophers basketball.
Wow. I'm shocked.
And he goes through these antics. Like if a ball comes to the sideline, instead of throwing it back, he'll throw it between his legs or behind his back. So people knew him. And NFL, I said, man, all these people want to have Football Life done on them. Wow. You're doing it on a security guard?
And so, yeah, I can't believe that.
Me. So he's the most famous man in Minnesota right now because he kicked Drew Pearson in the ribs.
Well, I bet. But how did he keep his job? I won't even go into this. I know we have other things to get to. But that guy kept his job. I mean, Woody Hayes goes and hits somebody. He's out too, and he should have been. But, I mean, to get you kicked in the head like that, it was so obvious. He took three or four steps and kicked you. But we'll get off that. Dude, amazing game that was.
Well, I'm sure all of the Minnesota Viking fans were on his side. They wanted to kick you as well.
He wanted to kick me harder. He said, why did you kick him a little harder, man? Put him out of the game.
What a game, Drew.
What a game. That. And Preston, you know that was a knockdown, drag out. Their whole team was nothing but veterans. I think the only rookie might have been
Carl Eller. Eller
and Page. And
Krause.
And Preston, you played great. Preston, you played really, really good that game, too.
Yes.
I mean, you were, you know, rushing.
How did you catch in that game, Preston? You remember?
Well, I was a leading pass catcher in that game. Yeah. I didn't have I had more yards.
I put four in that drive.
You had four.
That
I had five.
Yeah. You were catchless until that drive.
I was cussing Roger out. Of course, he didn't hear me.
He
didn't hear me either. But I was upset. And so, but you know how we were in that kind of situation, Preston.
Yeah, you want the ball.
We didn't have time to have Coach Landry send in plays. So he trusted that he coached Roger up to be that leader in that situation. And when he got in that huddle, he asked us what we got. And what we told him wasn't based on what we studied Thursday and Friday on the game plan. It's based on what they're doing now, today, in this game.
You have to make it up. At that moment, you have to.
At that moment.
And that, we'll get back to this later on, but that's what the Cowboys of today are incapable of doing. Making adjustments during the game. Okay, enough said.
About that.
Enough said.
Gary will take my license away.
Okay, I got to ask you this, too, about that play, the 4th and 17. Were you inbounds?
Yeah, I would have been inbound, but the force out forced me out.
So he caught you in the air and forced you out of bounds.
The force out rule was in effect then.
Was it? Okay. Yeah.
So you didn't get those 2 feet down? You didn't get 2 feet.
That was a new rule that came in.
Down, no problem.
Hey, well, it looked like you did the toe drag swag anyways.
No, I would have got him down.
You don't
think
you did? Oh, I thought you
It might have got down, but
yeah,
it was a force out rule, and it was like bang bang.
Yeah.
Roger, man, this pass was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They give me credit for making that catch, but man, that pass
was both of you on that one.
I mean, like a frozen rope across the field.
It's a heavenly play. It was heavenly by both.
I mean, it wasn't here, it wasn't there, it wasn't behind. It was right between the double eights. Stevie Wonder could have caught that if somebody would have shown him where to go.
Stevie Wonder. Okay, moving on. The other, I think, telling moment for you, and I believe this is the one that really got you into the Hall of Fame, was the 2017 speech that you gave in Philadelphia in hostile territory announcing the Cowboys draft pick that year. And I'm telling you, when you see this and you see it one time, you want to see it again and again. And I'm telling you, the chills go down your neck, your back, all the way down to your heels, to your toes. Because what you're doing at the end of it is you're going, all right, get them, Drew. Stand up for the Cowboys.
And he did that.
We don't do enough of today.
We don't do enough. But you know, Preston, I was that kind of guy. I talked a lot of noise on the field anyway.
Yes, you did.
A lot of you guys told me to shut up because I'm making the defensive guys upset. But no, I just wanted to do the Cowboys right in that situation. They had offered me that opportunity. Could offer you or a bunch of us guys have the credibility and credentials to do something like that. So I wanted to treat them right. But going up there on the plane, I wrote out what I wanted to say.
Okay.
But there's no way I was expecting to present it that way.
Uh-huh.
But when I came around, first of all.
Did you say what you wrote down?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But first of all, you know, we're in the green room. We're waiting back there. We're fellowshipping and all this. Clinton Portis is there with gold pants, gold shoes and stuff. I said,
what are you doing? Yeah.
What are you doing, man? But anyway, I saw Harry Carson go out there, read his card, and come right back. Clinton Portis go out there, read his card, right back. I said, man, this is national TV.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do something a little different. I was going to say what I had planned to say. But once the commissioner introduced, he said, next up with the 66th pick or second round.
60th.
Former
60th.
Dallas Cowboy Drew Pearson. Boo!
All the booze started.
So oh,
he comes
it
back, stage, the commissioner, he says, Drew, are you ready for this? I said, yeah, commissioner. I said, if it wasn't for the Redskins, I wouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame.
The Eagles, yes.
He said, know what he said? Say that. I said, okay.
Yes. Oh, he's pushing you on.
He's pushing me. So when I walked around, the boos and the cheers and the fingers, everything were at me. And what I did was try to locate a couple Cowboy fans in that crowd and talk to them.
There you go.
But I had planned on saying what I said, but I didn't plan on delivering it that way.
Trey, let's roll that. If we've got that, and we should, let's roll that and listen. And I guarantee you, the chills will come.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to thank the Eagle fans for allowing me to have a career in the NFL.
Oh, yes.
I am honored as an undrafted free agent to be selected to make the Cowboys second round draft pick. And on behalf of the five-time world champion, Dallas Cowboys.
Let's go. Wow. Wow.
That is an all-time great pick announcement. I am standing
all-time
and applauding. Drew Pearson soaking in the hate and spitting it back. Hey, look. Oh, they loved it. That's red meat for that draft party there in Frisco, Texas. Fantastic.
Drew. Drew, I got to say
something.
You
didn't get chills from that.
I got to say this to Drew. Drew, you know, I represent the Cowboy fan base, you know, from us to you. And we cannot thank you enough for what you did on that day to represent us. I got goosebumps right there. I don't know if you can see it. I'm being honest with you. What you did, it fired us up. I mean, and we thank you, all of us fans, to this day. We thank you for what you did that day for us.
He stood up. He stood up in the face of all of those people up there who were booing him. And there was no need, no requirement on their part to boo him. Why was he? He was just there representing the Cowboys, I guess because the Cowboys had beat up on him.
Yeah, we had a little success. Yep. I think I was 10-5 coming through my career against the Eagles.
Wonderful.
I was fired up. So for a guy that comes in the league as an undrafted free agent, now after that speech, you're known for the draft. Okay?
Yes.
You're the draft guy.
Yeah, that's
hey, guys,
right.
I went home The next day, I saw my little grandson, Bryce. He was like 8 years old at that time. Know what he said? He said, "Grandpa, I didn't know you were Drew Pearson."
Now, Drew, is it true
true
that
story.
Your daughter is married to an Eagle fan? You know, I saw it on one of your shows like that. Is he allowed over for Christmas?
He's allowed over at the holidays, but he has to eat at the little kids' table. He can't come to the big table.
Very cool. Very cool.
No way. Right. No, on. Don't believe that, folks.
No, he's a good guy. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have been able to marry my daughter.
I bet.
Well, you got a little bit of taste of this man over here and some of the plays, and we certainly haven't covered a lot of them at all. In fact, we've only covered, in my opinion, two of his most memorable moments as a Dallas Cowboy. Certainly Hail Mary has to rank out there amongst the all-time greats. And it still stands.
And the Falcons.
Anytime anyone, broadcaster, references a late score, you know, 2 seconds left to go in the game, and a quarterback drops back and throws this long pass. What do they call it? They call it a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
So that will be there, that term, that play will be there long after you and I are gone.
Hey, Preston, I was watching women's college softball the other day. And this girl from OU, bases loaded, hits one out. That's a Hail Mary. And then in politics, this guy's going to need a Hail Mary to win this election. It's everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's everywhere. You
cool
say it
to be
all
associated
the time
with something like that, you know?
And Drew, how amazing was it to be linked always with Roger Staubach for the rest of your life? What was it like for you to be his number one guy?
Yeah, that's instant credibility.
Yeah.
And if you do it right, you play off of that, you can have a nice life for yourself after football. But Roger, to be able to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback for 8 seasons, all right? And then Danny White comes, we don't miss a beat.
No,
you know?
That's what
we
I was going
to
ask you.
Three straight championship games. We're still averaging 30 points a game. We're still moving the ball offensively. But to play with Roger, you know, that kind of leader, that kind of person, you know, you're not only going to come up a pretty good football player when you're around guys like this, Preston included. But, you know, if you learn, you become a professional by the way they do things, how they practice, how they handle meetings, how they prepare themselves, you know, and the things they do in their personal life when they lead that practice field and things like that. That's what you really learn as a rookie or as a young player when you get around guys like Preston, Rayfield Wright, Bob Hayes, you know, come on.
Bob Lilly,
Dede Lewis, Leroy Jordan. Come on, man.
And
Drew, one other real quick question. When being a drafted free agent, when you came and Tom Landry, you know, you come to practice at rookie minicamps, did he treat you exactly the same as he did other rookies? Was he good to you right off the bat?
No, that's the thing about it. Once you got to training camp, it didn't matter if you're a drafted or a free agent, you're going to be treated the same.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem with that, there were 17 rounds of the draft then, so 17 draft picks, and the rest were free agents. And we had a rookie camp, a whole week of rookie camp before the veterans got there. Mm-hmm. And when I showed up at that rookie camp, I'm thinking I'm special. You know, I'm going to Dallas Cowboys camp. Man, I showed up, there's like 10 wide receivers at least, you know?
Yep.
And 90 rookies. At the end of that first week, there was 50 guys left standing. And that's what Coach Landry did. He tried to kill you and put you through the toughest test, the rigors, to see if you can handle it. And if you can get it through that, then you might have a chance to play when these veterans come in. And you know when the veterans came in, Preston and Nathan, man, now you're really – I'll never make it. They come in, popping in and out of the huddle. They know the play. Hut.
Yep.
And you're trying to catch up and keep up. And you're like,
and
saying,
I saw
oh,
you.
No. The philosophy
I saw you
was
number 25.
Live to play another day, one day at a time. If you did that, you had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Preston, was it like that for you with Don Shula, real quick?
Yeah, how was that, Preston?
On your rookie minicamp, how did he compare to Tom Landry, if you can do that fast? I know you got a show to keep with it, but what can you say with that fast?
Don Shula and Tom Landry are far and away different people, different kinds of coaches. Shula was kind of a yell type. Landry designated other people to be his yell types, like Mike Ditka, for example. He was that kind of guy. You know, basically what you saw from Tom Landry with that hat and arms folded, that's the kind of guy he was as a coach. Yeah. Very cerebral, you know, knew every facet of the game, especially defensively. Well, not so much, not that bad offensively either, because he knew people. He knew the heart of a person, I think. He knew the attitude of a person. Drew couldn't have gotten where he got without having the proper kind of attitude. That was my attitude going in. You know, I dropped everything. I dropped the idea of trying to go back to school to get my remaining 12 hours. I said to my parents, I might as well give this a try, even though I was scared to death. Pro football, being a basketball player and being away for all that time, nothing after high school, I was scared to death. And then I get out there, and who's the number one draft choice that year? Bubba Smith.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I mean, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Big bad Bubba, and he walks up to you, and he says things like, who you? You know, with that scowl on his face. Very nice guy, very easygoing man. He just wanted to try to intimidate you.
And
let you know who's boss out here. But in that practice, one of those practices in the early years, we get out there and I'm on the sidelines as a part of the rookie group watching the defensive linemen go up against the offensive linemen. And all of a sudden I hear these sounds, sounded like rifle shots to me. It was helmets and shoulder pads hitting one another.
Man.
And I'm going,
God, I love football.
Me.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, you know, I'm already scared. I'm already shaking. Just being out there, basketball player coming into this, I'm already scared. But you know what? That heart that I was talking about, that desire to try to make something of yourself, I didn't have anything. I was several hours away from graduation, didn't have a job. You know, where was I going to go? I had an opportunity, just like you. You had an opportunity. You're going to take advantage of it as best you can. Go out there and give it the best shot you can. So I stayed there. After 14 years, five Super Bowls and all the rest of that stuff, I did pretty good.
You did. Not bad for a basketball player, huh?
No. Hey, Drew, can you imagine going to the Baltimore Colts of the 60s and you didn't play any college football? You literally, the last time you played football was in high school. You go to the Baltimore Colts and literally have to go and, hit and be hit. And I mean, how incredible is that?
That is very, you know, very much a story in itself, you know, because back then they didn't care about you. You know, money was not an issue, you know. They can cut you and then think nothing
like
of
that.
It, you know? No salary cap, no nothing. You're just gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was very tough compared to what it is now. Preston and I could probably go through a Cowboy training camp right now, okay? Because it's like Club
Med. You look like it.
You know, they practice like this with, you know, they run routes and, you know, hats on backs and shorts. And, you know, they're only allowed to do so many hours a day and so many practices a day because of collective bargaining and all that kind of stuff. But it was totally different when we came through.
Well,
and that's why we built this foundation that these Cowboys are based on now. And they can weather any storm and still be the greatest sports franchise of all time.
Yes.
You know, and not win in what, 20 years, 30 years? I don't know how many years now. I lost.
Yeah, it hurts. No, it hurts. We're still keeping hope.
Me and Preston and some of the other guys I played with, Coach Landry and them, laying that foundation of the organization and bringing in players with character, you know, with intelligence, with passion and talent to play the game. And, man, now you're around these guys and coached by these coaches,
Man. You know, one real fast question, too, folks, for both
of you. You got a chance. You got a chance to win.
This is what I'm talking about, that the Cowboys are going to have to do. You talk about drafting people. You're talking about the culture, if you will. Well, they're going to have to get back to what Drew's talking about here.
Yeah.
In this draft, because they've got so many holes to fill.
So many. And yes, we
listen,
do.
Nathan, we've been through a lot, and it's gone so fast. We'd like to see if we can get Drew to come back and get through the rest along.
Oh, I hope so.
Background.
Oh,
because our time frame has gone.
It's gone?
Oh, man.
Gone.
I can't
believe it. Hail Mary. We need two more minutes.
Oh, man. Drew, please come back because I do have so many things to ask you. Being around you has been unbelievable for me. And I just thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. Preston, so excited to be a part of this. So thank you.
Hey, Nathan, this might be the first time we've done an interview together. After all these years of playing and life after football, we never sat down together to do an interview.
Never.
And that's why we run out of time. Because we've got so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd love to come
back. To
call
my
name, Preston. I'll be there.
And there's more on the table, and we are going to do that. I want to say thanks to the production people, especially Trey Giles. Please come back and join us. Our next guest, folks, understand this. Another guy that has that great story, that great background from Notre Dame. And you think for a moment, wide receiver, the Rocket. Also, I believe, a Jersey guy.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And he's going to be here with us on draft day. We're going to talk draft with him.
We're
going to
talk draft.
Awesome.
We're going to talk draft.
Nice.
So make sure you join us.
Shoes on, because he's still fast. Okay.
Join us on our platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter, and on audio, TikTok, Amazon, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Come join us next week, and we are going to see you next week. So here we go.